don't know where my notes went. Oh, no. Oh, no. Really? Okay. I'm calm. All right. Okay. All right. How did that happen? All right. Dropbox is awesome. Save the day. Woo-hoo. It was in my Dropbox. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Like I said, wonderful Holy Spirit, I just pray that you speak through me, and Lord, that there are prepared hearts here, hearts that want to receive your word. Because it burns on the inside of them to know their calling and their purpose in life and that which you've called us to. Even before we were born, you had that groundwork all laid out for us. And our true happiness comes in realizing our calling and your purpose and plan for our life, Lord. Help us to understand how to prepare our heart so that we can receive that calling and that purpose and walk in it with might. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Well, we're talking about preparing the heart. What's been burning on the inside of me is that you find your calling and your purpose in God. Because in that is where the joy comes from in living. It's your purpose for being here. Well, I don't know why I'm even here. I don't know why God's got me here. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. You're not just here by accident. God's got a reason for you to be here. And though, if there was no other purpose, is that you were born here so that you could just have a relationship with God, and that's wonderful because he loves to have children. But that's just the beginning. Just like when we have children, don't we have dreams for our children? Don't we have aspirations for our children? I mean, we love them so much that we want to see them walk in the fullness of God. And God relates to us the same way. He wants us to know what his purpose and plan is for our lives, because when you walk in that in its completeness, you're going to be so happy. You're going to be so joyful. You're going to feel so complete. The emptiness goes away, and the joy of living begins. How can you be so sure? Because I'm living it. I'm living the dream. I know I'm exactly where God's called me to be. And I want you to have that same blessedness that I'm experiencing. Because every one of you have a call in your life. It may not be fivefold ministry. It may not be to be a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. But you, where you're at, whether he's called you to be a businessman or woman, called you to go into whatever field. Maybe that's you know, because don't you know that, say, in government, we need Christians. You know, in accounting, we need Christians in the accounting world. In the construction business, at Walmart. And I'll tell you what, when you find your place, you find your niche. Man, I'll tell you, the anointing of God flows there. And you're so joyful because, man, I mean, your pathway is paved with gold. And it is so, not that the devil ain't going to resist you, but when you know that you know that you know what you've been called to, nothing can stop you. No matter what obstacle he puts in front of you, you blast through it like a bulldozer. It doesn't need, you don't even lose any sleep over it. And if you're feeling like where you're working now and everything is like, oh man, I hate getting out of bed and going to work. Well, maybe you need to seek God and find out where you're supposed to be. Because you should be blasting out of bed every morning going, woohoo, another day with Jesus. I get to walk in my calling and see the supernatural power of God move. That's the good life. And that's what we're working on here, aren't we? That's what we're... Now, the first step is knowing that you got a calling. There's a lot of people going, no, not me. Yeah, you. Go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78:37. We talked about the heart last week where you were planting in that heart the Word of God and all the different ways that we need to cultivate that ground, and we need to weed that ground, and we need to plow that ground up and make it soft so it can receive the Word, receive that seed. And the better gardener that you are, the better yield you're going to get, isn't it? And so Jesus taught at length about how to prepare your heart and how to receive His Word. So what we're going to look at, it, what are some of the other things that Jesus talked about concerning the heart? You know, when you get into the New Testament and you get to into these Gospels and whatnot, I'm finding that Jesus spent a lot of time on talking about the heart. So it must be pretty important to Him. Psalm 78:37, of course, this is not Jesus, but "For their heart was not steadfast with Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant." Let me read this in the Amplified. "For their hearts were not right or sincere with Him, neither were they faithful and steadfast in His covenant." He's talking about the children of Israel, and he says, our hearts have to be steadfast and established. It brings faithfulness. That's why it's important that our hearts be prepared, that we spend time preparing our hearts, and as we prepare our hearts, then we can hear more clearly what it is that God's called us to do, what He's called us to. And the children of Israel would not prepare their hearts. They were not steadfast in their hearts. Go on down to verse 40 now of Psalm 78. Verse 40, "How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from their enemies." God wants to fulfill His destiny in your life more than you do. When He took them out of Egypt, He didn't just take them out. He performed great signs and wonders and miracles. And it says here, the reason why He did that is so they would have something to hang their hat on. If He could do all of that, if He cared that much for us to do all that in Egypt that He did, including us crossing across that Red Sea, supernatural miracles that He was doing, why weren't God said that was something to be used to prepare their hearts. They needed to remember what God had done in their life. How many miraculous things has God done in your life? How many supernatural things that you could identify, man, that was God. You need to write that down so you never forget it. I have a journal that I write when God does supernatural things, I write them down in a journal. And when I'm feeling a little bit, man, there's a lot of weight coming on, I get that journal out and I read the accounts of the things that God has done in my life. By the time I put that thing down, I'm going, no, God, this is awesome. God's for me, He's not against me. Woo! It's not very often I go there anymore. I mean, it used to be that happened to me all the time, and that journal was important. But I'm telling you, you need to remember the things that God has done for you and sow them right here. That's part of heart preparation. So that then when you encounter something tough, you can go back and go, no, God did this and this and this and this and this, and He will do this. I know His will, because if He did it here, 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 and here, He's going to do it again, because He's the same today, and He will be that way forever. Amen? So part of the preparation of our heart is that we need to remember. And notice, it grieves God when we don't remember. Why? Because He can't perform His supernatural works through you because you won't receive it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wants so bad to fulfill His call in your life. It means something to Him, as it means something to you. He wants so bad for you to fulfill your call. It blesses Him to do that. It's important that our hearts burn for God and His purpose and plan for our lives. So what did Jesus say about the heart? Let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 13. Mark 8:13. Well, I'm telling you what, there is a lot. So we can't even begin to cover everything that Jesus said about the heart here. Mark 8:13, and he lifted them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. So Jesus says, okay, we're going to get in a boat, we're going to go to the other side, we're going to do some ministry here. And he had performed all these miracles of the five loaves and the, you know, 5,000, fed the 5,000, then fed 4,000. And these guys are all worried about some bread. Jesus said, we're going to go do ministry, and they're worried about what they're going to have to eat. The cares of this world, isn't it? And so they get in a boat, and they're sitting here just going on and on about loaves and bread and all that. And then he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Here he is trying to minister to them on a spiritual level, and they're still down here in the cares of this world, dealing with, that's where their heart is. And they reasoned among themselves saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said unto them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, you do not see, and having ears, you do not hear. And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? You guys are walking in this carnal plane. You guys are worried about what you're going to have to eat. Your hearts are just numb. Because all you can think about is the carnal needs of your life. And Jesus says, I want you to go higher. Your purpose is higher than circumstances here on this earth. But what was clogging them up? It was the condition of their heart. He said it was your heart condition that's not allowing you to receive. It must be pretty important to Jesus that our heart is in preparation, that our heart is tuned into God, isn't it? Go to Mark chapter 7, verse 14. Mark 7, 14. When he had called all the multitudes to himself, he said to them, Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you notice that Jesus says that a lot? He's saying, man, now listen closely. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him discerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive whatever enters a man from outside does not defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulterers, fornicators, murderers, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So Jesus is saying, it's not what we eat. It's not the physical plane of existence. It is the spiritual plane of receiving his word on the inside of us. It's what we do with our hearts and what comes out of those hearts that count. So is it important that our hearts are prepared for God? Our hearts are important to him. And we're going to understand why when we understand how the heart works. And we're going to get there. So they lacked understanding and heart preparation and made them dull of hearing. The heart condition is important to God. It is not what you eat or drink physically, but it's what you put in your heart and what comes out. So we need to pay attention to our hearts, don't we? Go to Matthew chapter 12, 34. Matthew 12, 34. The reason why I'm sharing these scriptures is so to drive home the point that God is so interested in the condition of your heart. In Matthew 12, 34, he says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? But out of the abundance of the what? Heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." So what's in the abundance of our heart affects our lives, doesn't it? And God's deeply interested in what's in our heart. Whatever you sow in there is going to come out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's going to come out. So if God is bringing you to your purpose and your plan, and these things aren't dealt with, then what's going to happen when you walk into ministry? Instead of helping people, you're going to hurt people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if in abundance you have the Word of God and you are fired up for God, you're fired up about this Word and you're growing and you're... That's going to leak out of you into other people, and out of the abundance of your heart, you're going to be ministering to people. You're going to be influencing people. Believe it or not, no matter where you walk, you are an influencer, either for evil or for good. And you're thinking, well, I'm a Christian. How could it be for evil? Because if our heart, he just said that if all we do is feed evil, 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 or that contrary to the word, then we have nothing to offer people out there. My son just called this morning. I'll tell you what, we are so blessed. My youngest son, he's just kind of he's a worry body, he's a complainer, he's always been that way. I mean, his outlook on life is sour all the time. He's like, nothing's good, and I hate the military, and they're just out there to get me. And he's always been like this, even growing up. He's just negative, 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 negative all the time. We just got a phone call from him. We've been getting phone calls from him. But this past summer, he came home for 5 weeks. And every time he'd go on the negative road, Sheriff and I mean, our excitement for the word and our excitement for what God's doing, we would just shoot that right back at him. And slowly but surely, you could see him. He's starting to turn, starting to turn, starting to turn. I mean, his attitude's starting to change. Hope is starting to rise up on the inside of him like we've never seen before. And all it is that we're just sharing the abundance of our heart. It's just flowing out of us to him. Ignoring all this negative stuff and giving him hope, which is what's naturally coming out of us, you know. And so by the end of it, he started saying, you know what, I think I'm going to go ahead and stay in the military. I think I'm going to make the best of it. You know, maybe God's got a plan. This is why he's packing his bags to leave. He's had 5 weeks of this exposure. Not only that, but he's had his grandparents, you know, on both sides. I mean, everybody's pumping all this positive stuff in him. We just got a phone call from him, and he says, I am so excited about God. He says, I take my Bible out in the field, because they go out and they guard missile silos. He says, I take my Bible out with me. He says, when everybody gets negative, you know, he says, "What? Why do you bring your Bible? And he says, because this is where my hope is. Because he says, when everybody's all being ugly and everybody's being all negative and all that kind of stuff, I get my strength from this right here. And they're like going, really? And they're sitting there in these trucks, just sitting there facing each other. And every once in a while, they get out and go around the silo, and they say, so they are cooped up. There's no way to get away. He doesn't force it on them, but he reads his Bible. And they're all bored stiff, so there's some action there. You know, there's something going on. Praise, I mean, is that all? So he's talking to us this morning. He's going, man, I tell you what, I just love the word. He says, I just listened to your message. He went on the website and listened to the message I preached, golly, like a year and a half ago, on how to finish strong. He says, that's so ministered to me this morning, Dad. He says, wow, I had a few more questions, and we answered them and talked and all that kind of stuff. And he says, God's got a call in my life. I just know it. Amen. And Sheriff and I are, you know, we're holding the phone like this, but... I'm standing in the dining room. She's standing in the kitchen. We're looking across it. We're going. I didn't have to get into a theological discussion with him. I didn't have to have this big word knowledge. I didn't have to be legalistic with him. You need to shut that up or you're going to... We would just discounter it by just saying, yeah, but you know the word says, you know, but Jesus is this. And you know, God's heart towards you is this. And God's got your back covered. To the place where now he's standing on his own and he's going, God is so awesome, wow. How we've never in all these years seen him being so fired up for the things of God. So what we were able to sow into him is still producing fruit. But see, if our hearts can only project what we sow into it, isn't it? If you put bad seed in there, bad's going to come out. Isn't that what Jesus just said? But if you put something good inside, good comes out of it, doesn't it? And it just flows out. That's ministering. That's walking in your calling. You got to have a heart prepared. And you need to be sowing that word in your heart and cultivating it and meditating on it. So that good comes out. Because good can't come out of evil. And anything that's other than God, it's not. It's evil. It'll take the complaining right out of your mouth and put in blessing God. And being excited about your job. Being excited about where you're going. And then God's got something to work with. I want you to get this so bad. I just want you to have this so bad. What is in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth. If you're wondering what's in there, monitor your mouth. It's your spiritual dipstick. Pull it out every once in a while and go, oh, I'm a quart low. Need to pour some word in. Huh? Amen. Whoa, jeez. Wishing you could take things or his word back. How many times have you sat here and you said something to somebody and you go, I wish I could take that back? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth spoke and you went, oh, and you caused damage to somebody. Where if the abundance of your heart was filled with goodness and God and his word, it would have just been flowing out his goodness to that person and minister to them powerfully. How do I control this? Well, it starts with the preparation of your heart. I wish so many times, some of you out there are saying, so many times, man, I say stuff and I go, where did that come from? It came from here. Not from the blood pump, but it came from your heart. What have you been sowing in your heart? Check your spiritual dipstick. Amen. Just spend time with each other and listen. The heart is revealed. There is a good treasure and an evil treasure. What have you planted? It comes out. Go to Matthew 5:8. Matthew 5:8 now. Jesus didn't teach this stuff just so he could look like an inspired teacher. His heart is for the people. He wants these people to grow and to know God, to know his Father intimately. And so he's teaching these lessons to them. Some of them are hard lessons. Some of them, you know, I mean, I might be sharing some scripture here going, oh man, that stung. Get off of it. But it's for our instruction and for our growth. Those are the weeds that we need to pull out of our heart and replace it with the word. If you ever wanted an answer to changing the words of your mouth, you'd change what you've planted in your heart. So Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we want to see God in our lives. We want to see God in our spouses, in our children, in our friends, in the world. We want to see those things in people. And, you know, the pure in heart doesn't mean that you're perfect. He's not saying that you're going to be perfect. What does pure mean? Pure, like for instance, you pick up a thing of apple juice, and it says pure apple juice, or pure grapefruit juice, maybe pure orange juice. And you look at it and you think, wow, this stuff is holy. Because it's pure. That isn't what he means. Nothing was added and nothing was taken away. It is pure. And in your relationship with God, don't be adding to it and don't be taken away from it. Just have a pure heart towards him. That's what he's desiring. For you shall see God. Now, what does that mean? That means that wherever you look, you're not judging people. You're not seeing evil in people. You're not seeing bad things in people. You're not judging your circumstances poorly. You see God in everything and in everyone that you encounter. That's a pure heart. And when you have a pure heart towards God, you see God in every situation. And you walk in hope in everything that hits you. But you've got to have a pure heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying here, man? I mean, this is important. So when you come up against a situation, you seek God in that situation, and you speak to that situation, and you thank God in that situation, and he supernaturally is able to take care of that circumstance. You're not losing any sleep over it. When you come up against people, it's like they're really rough. How many people know what a sandpaper people are? That's a popular term these days. You see God for them and on them. So therefore, then you go out and you minister to them. So instead of them being offensive, you go, oh, God's got a plan for you. Let me sit down and encourage you in that. You see God in every circumstance. That's a pure heart. Man. But it doesn't come automatically. It's something you have to consciously say, I am going to have a pure heart. I'm going to see God in every circumstance because God is in every circumstance for the positive, for the deliverance, for the healing, for whatever it is that you need versus, well, the devil's in this and he's kicking my butt. No, God is in this thing and he is your deliverer. Learning some secrets here, huh? Man, oh man. Matthew 6:21. Matthew 6:21. Another instance that Jesus is talking about the heart. If I lifted this up, would it ring less? Is that better? Put it back down. Okay. Just trying to help. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a very popular, in fact, that's why I like these envelopes, because that's what they say on them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love this verse because the revelation that you get out of this is that, again, your spiritual dipstick. It's another spiritual dipstick. Where your treasure is, there your heart would be also. How can you know your spiritual, where you are at spiritually? Check your checkbook. Check your banking statements. Where's your heart? I didn't write the Bible. I know I get these kind of stares all the time when I share that scripture. Whoa. But Jesus wants us to know that. That's our spiritual dipstick. Like, for instance, if you want to know what my heart is, you could check my bank account. You can check where I spend my money. And I love giving to ministries. I mean, we love giving to this ministry and that ministry and this ministry. I mean, you see a lot of that. Another thing is that I love teaching tapes and teaching MP3s, and Sheriff comes home And I say, I bought some more teachings on the internet, hon. And she goes, okay, you know. I just got a ton of teachings. I eventually listen to them. I do. When I see something come on sale or something that really spoke to me, I'm like, I'm getting that, man. I'm grabbing that. So I do. I like to spend my money on that kind of stuff. And then another thing that I like is, we like to go down to Mardell's. My kids, you know, we'd go down to Mardell's and walk through there. And I can't leave Mardell's without another Bible. It's a weakness of mine. I'm addicted. And we come home with another Bible, and we walk in the door, and the kids, they go, another Bible? How many Bibles do you need? As many as I can get my hands on. How many video games do you need? Oh. Sometimes it's not a matter of need, it's a matter of want. I love it. Got to have it. Another place that you'll find is that I like Best Buy. I could spend hours in Best Buy. I love electronic stuff. I don't understand it a lot of times, but I just like it. It's fun. It's neat. And I like iPads and iPhones and just gadgets and stuff. I love it. I can't walk out of there with at least a thumb drive. Man. Go to Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. Do you have that graphic? Do you? Looking at the time, I may wait till next week on. But thanks for. I had a graphic that I was going to use to illustrate. Okay. Because due to the restraints in time, when I get into this, I want to flow, and I'd have to cut it right in the middle of it, and that wouldn't be good. So in closing, Luke 4:18. Here again, Jesus is describing a heart. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Notice he said he came to heal the brokenhearted. Do you know that when a heart is broken, it can't retain and contain things? You know, like this cup right here, it's got water, but if it had cracks, if it had holes in it, you could pour water in it all day long and it'd just leak right out. For we need to prepare our hearts in such a way, and Jesus is here to prepare to heal those broken hearts so that we can retain the things of God in them. Because if we're so full of offense and brokenness. And I can't even begin to understand what it would be like to lose a child. I can't even wrap my head around that. Or to end up in a divorce. Or have something happen to you, some kind of tragedy happen to you. God came to heal that heart. Why? Because he wants you to be whole so that you can walk in the goodness of God and be complete and be happy in your life. So you can retain and contain the things of God in your heart. This is part of preparing our hearts. We need to deal with those broken things, that brokenness that we've had in our lives. Some people go decades with a broken heart and never settle that thing. And Jesus says, I've come to mend those broken hearts, to heal those broken hearts. So it's so important for us to, I know that Sharice and I, we were in ministry, and that while we were in ministry, we got our hearts broken in ministry. And we got offended, and we walked away from ministry, and our hearts were broken for 8 years. And we went nowhere in the things of God. nowhere. Well, I couldn't retain anything from God. Nothing. I mean, now I still said, you know, God is God. In fact, I used the scripture. By grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I told the Lord, when I got this broken heart, I'm putting that to the test. Because I ain't going back to church again. Never again am I going back to church. I ain't never going into another church again. Never again. For 8 years, I carried that load with me. I had a broken heart. And I couldn't retain anything of God. But when I picked up my Bible, it was like dead letters on the page. It wasn't God holding out on me. It was my broken heart. I could retain nothing. That anointing that I had just kind of fell to the floor. Why? And it's not that he revoked it, but that I had such a broken heart, I couldn't receive anything of the Lord. And after 8 years, Jesus healed my broken heart. And he restored me. And I'm 10 times the man that I was then. God is so good. But until your broken heart is mended, until he has healed your broken heart and you've let him, you have to let him. It don't come automatic. He's constantly ministering to you. Let me heal your broken heart. Let me. And as soon as you let him, he can heal your broken heart and you can get on your way. And I can testify to it. It is important that we deal with our broken hearts and the areas in our lives where that's a bottleneck in our being able to retain, and it's in a stumbling block in our walk with God. Say, well, I mean, I know I'm broke here, but I still have a relationship with God. It can be way, way better if you let him heal your broken heart. If you think you got it good now, deal with that and watch your take off. And that's what Jesus came to do. Not just heal us physically or take care of our finances, but to heal our broken heart. He says, that's my mission, that's my call, that's why I'm here. And he hasn't stopped. This is all part of preparing our heart for hearing God's call for our lives. Amen. With a broken heart, you can't contain or retain the things of God. Like a broken glass, it can't retain water unless it's fixed, unless the cracks and everything are sealed up. Until it's healed. In fact, he can give you a new heart. A brand new one. So many times Jesus tells us to serve him with our whole heart. If he tells us to serve him with our whole heart, then it must be possible for us to do it with part of our heart, isn't it? So in order for us to serve him with our whole heart, we're going to have to prepare the whole heart to be able to realize his call and his purpose for our lives. Amen? And it's my burning desire that these things be done in you, so that you can rise up and walk on a strata of spiritual ecstasy that you didn't think was possible. I mean, where you're at right now, I'm excited for you, because those of you here that it burns on your side, I want this. What you're saying to me burns on the inside of me, I want this bad. I'm excited for you because you're going to take the next leap. You're going to excel. Because you're going to endeavor, because you're going to see value in preparing your heart. You're going to see value in getting in the Word. You're going to see value in meditating in the Word. You're going to see value in preparing your heart, because you know that God's got a purpose and plan, and this is preparation time. God's getting me ready. That anticipation needs to be on the inside of you. God's getting me ready. There's something big coming. There's something going to happen here in my life. I'm not going to live the same old life. I'm about to take this up another notch here. I'm preparing my heart. Preparation time is not wasted time. It's good investment. And when you start preparing your heart and that hunger increases and increases on the inside of you for more word and more preparation because you're seeing the fruit of it. You're starting to bear fruit. You're starting to bear fruit. Man, this is awesome. I mean, this investment is worth it because I'm seeing fruit that I've never seen before. Man, I'm doing 30-fold, but this is 30-fold more than what I was producing before. Man, it's good. I want to go to 60. Well, just keep going. Keep going. And taking care of these matters in our heart. And when we do, life gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. I mean, Sherris and I, we are so enjoying our lives and we but just scratched the surface. I just know it. The more I dig, the more excited I get. And it's affecting our kids. It's affecting those around us. It's contagious. It's infectious. How would you like to be infectious? I know that sounds bad, but if it's a good thing. I know in the era of the Ebola virus thing going around, I mean, we don't, you know. Father, we just thank you and praise you. You're so good to us. And Lord, your desire burns on the inside of you that we know our purpose and plan in you. Because, I mean, when we have this exchange where we're walking in your purpose and plan, we are opening up the doors for the supernatural blessings and favor of God that just flows out before us. And it's fun to see the devil destroyed and purpose going forward in our lives. And seeing us being able to affect people and be able to minister to people and have major victories in our lives that we've never seen before because our heart is fixed, trusting in you. Our heart is established. And we want so bad to walk in the deeper things of you. I know you love us. We're going to heaven. And that's a marvelous thing. But how wonderful it would be for us to not just go to work and come home and go to work and come home without any purpose on the inside of us, but that we could go to work and come home and know that we know that we know that's exactly where God called me to be, and his purpose and plan is just flowing. Thank you, Lord. That's the exciting, abundant life that you, Jesus, came to give us, to walk in your purpose and your plan. Having a relationship with you is so fun. You are so fun. Hallelujah. I don't understand people say, boy, serving God is grueling. I just don't get that. It's not what I've experienced. It is fun and it's exciting. Oh, the devil tries to tear things down, but get out of here. I don't let anything get in the way of my relationship with my Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You might have difficult things in your life right now. Don't let them get in the way of your relationship with your Father. You might be tripping up on something, and it seems like you're dealing with a situation in your life, and it seems like, you know, I commit myself, and then I fall, and then I fall, and then I get right. You are always right with Him. Don't ever let things get in the way between your relationship, between you and your Father. Let nothing get in the way of your relationship with your Father. He understands you. He knows you oh so well. He doesn't let it get in the way. Why should we? Hallelujah. Boy, you're a good God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give you praise and glory and honor. You're a good God with a purpose and a plan for our lives. We want those things fulfilled in our lives. We want to walk whole lives. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're always for us. You've got a good plan for us. A good plan. Thoughts of good and not evil. And you've got an expected end. An expected end for our lives. We want to fulfill those. Completely and full. Run the race to the very end with excellence. Thank you, Lord. And the whole time we're running that race, we have joy in our hearts and a spring in our step. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, Lord. I hear the Lord speaking to me that talking about the brokenhearted hit a bell with some of you. Some of you have been dealing with a broken heart for a long time. Issues in your life that you've not been able to cope with and don't know how to cope with. You're not supposed to cope with it. You're just supposed to give it to Jesus and let Him heal you. We don't integrate a broken heart into our lives. That's a tragedy. I know for 8 years that's what I did. When I gave it to Jesus, that broken heart, He mended it, and I went right on as if those 8 years weren't even there. Didn't even happen. Didn't hold Him to my account at all. And I was able to forgive with complete forgiveness. It was a complete healing, and I thank you, Lord, for that. So there may be some people here that have been dealing with a broken heart. Might have been dealing with some issues here. There might be some offense, or somebody has just wronged you, and you've been dealing with this for years, and you just can't seem to let Jesus heal your broken heart. And it starts with a decision. Jesus, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you this broken heart. Give me a new one. I want to walk free of the offense and the brokenness that has been perpetrated against me, Lord. I just want to release it and be done with it. I want to walk a new life. And from this day forward, I am not going to let that control my life any further. If there's anybody here that would like prayer for that broken heart, that you would like to make a declaration today that I am no longer going to live under the torment of a broken heart. I am releasing it to Jesus. You can come right up here and we'll pray with you and we'll stand in agreement with you. Is there anybody at all that would like to come forward? I just feel like this is a hot button. I think there's some people that really needs to deal with this. Come on up.
Jesus.